Wealth Within offers a range of investment and educational services to help you secure your financial future. Whether you're an aspiring trader or simply want to increase the strength of your portfolio, Wealth Within are dedicated to maximising your investment returns.
Welcome to Talking Wealth. I'm Blake Sterling, analyst and assessor at Wealth Within. There's an old saying that when it rains, it pours, and this could not ring any more true than for the varying investment markets in Australia at present. The All Ords has fallen around 20% from April 2011 highs to yesterday's closing price of around 4,090 points. As if the dwindling share market value wasn't enough for investors to deal with, there are also a number of property experts warning of an impending collapse in the value of the Australian property market. In fact, some of the more bearish forecasters have predicted property prices could fall by 30 to 40%, or in other words, back to prices around a decade or so ago. So is this fear-mongering justified? I believe the property bears have raised some good points. And although property prices may continue to fall, I do not believe 30 to 40% falls are on the horizon. Unsurprisingly, a number of the doom and gloom forecasters do not even reside in the country, and are perhaps making too much of a comparison between their home country situation, particularly the US, and that of Australia. It's kind of like swapping a Ferrari for a Commodore and expecting the performance of the Commodore to be the same. Yet there are some key differences between our housing market and that of the US that I would like to share with you today. As with any investment decision, you need to consider the facts and undertake your own research before jumping in. Importantly, it is crucial to consider that all investment markets unfold in cycles. They ebb and flow, they don't go up forever, and the present slowdown in property, from my perspective, is simply part of a natural cycle. From a global perspective, Australia has achieved strong economic growth over the last several years in comparison to many other countries, and this is likely to continue, albeit with reliance on Asian growth rising steadily. As is the norm with a sound economy, the population tends to spend money, and we have seen this occur up until just recently with the retail sector beginning to sag, yet this has been offset to a certain extent with the online shopping phenomenon. Again, if Asia continues to grow, we will too, and this will more than likely be reflected in housing price growth over the long term. A differing factor between our property market and that of the US is that housing loans in Australia are full recourse, meaning you as the owner of a property are fully liable for the repayment of that loan, and should you slip up, banks have the legal right to take ownership of the property. This generally portrays a heightened level of responsibility for us Aussies, and therefore better money management when taking up a mortgage. Sure, there are a small percentage of bad loans out there where unfortunately people do not have the means to cover their mortgage. However, this percentage is tiny in comparison to total loan books of banks. This is much unlike the situation in the US, whereby loans are non-recourse, meaning homeowners who run into trouble financially and are unable to fund a mortgage can simply pop the house keys in the mail, post them to the bank, and then simply walk away. Banking regulation and lending practices are far more tightly scrutinised in Australia than in other countries, particularly the US, where only a small number of banks are regulated by the Reserve Bank equivalent, the Federal Reserve. Most other banks are state-owned and regulated. In many cases, US banking regulation has and continues to be very poor, and was the main cause for the GFC. This has led to predatory lending practices, whereby once business dried up for those who could afford to safely repay a mortgage, some of the more dodgy banks approach those who generally could not, commonly called ninjas, or no income, no job, and no assets. These dodgy banks approach such people with low honeymoon rate type products that were by all accounts very high risk loans. These were then repackaged by large investment banks as CDOs, or collateralized debt obligations, and these were the financial instruments that literally brought financial markets around the world to their knees. Tax incentives are also different between Australia and the US. For example, US homeowners can, to a certain extent, offset interest payments for owner-occupied houses against their personal income. This led to many Americans leveraging themselves to the hilt by borrowing against their homes, thinking that they were doing the right thing from a tax reduction perspective. This led to rampant speculation of US property prices, and thus when things turned sour, property prices plummeted. In Australia, we obviously have the benefits of negative gearing, to which the US do not have the same luxury. However, there is a valid argument that negative gearing has increased speculation in Australia and thus the rise in house prices that some experts have now deemed to be the most expensive property in the world. You may have also heard from a few of the property bears that Australian household debt is very high and thus the main concern for a correction. And whilst this may be true in part, the information generally not provided is that about three quarters of this debt is held by the top 40% of income earners with large asset bases who can more than afford current mortgage payments and then some. Housing supply is also a hot topic of discussion, with the property bears purporting an oversupply whilst the bulls stand firmly on the undersupply side. Today I received a fantastic article from the Housing Industry Association, or HIA, and although they documented a number of key facts, one that caught my eye was that Australia will need in the order of 1.6 million homes over the 9 years to 2020. If we continue to build at the average we have been over the last 20 years, the country will have a dwelling shortage upwards of 500,000. Amazing. So as you have heard, there are fundamental differences between our property market and the likes of the US. Hopefully this information has allayed some of the fears out there of a property collapse. Thanks for listening. I'm Blake Stirling, and this has been Talking Wealth.
Talking Wealth was brought to you by Wealth Within. To learn how you too can maximise your investment returns, call 1300 ShareTrade.